KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear to partly cloudy sky, 56 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy here today with a high near 60. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In the news this morning, a month-long trial of two men seeking $100 million for their wrongful conviction in a 1977 Council Bluffs killing could end next week, but a former prison barber who is largely responsible for their freedom wonders if she'll be compensated for her work. Ann Danaher of Kansas City spent years researching the case against Terry Harrington and Curtis McGee, two Omaha teenagers who were convicted of killing a former police officer. The men had spent decades in prison when Danaher discovered investigators had withheld records from defense lawyers. The evidence led the men to be freed, and both received large settlements. Now they're seeking more money from investigators and Council Bluffs. Danaher said Harrington promised to share any settlement with her, but so far she's received no money. She's filed a lawsuit seeking compensation. News time is 8:01.
Hi, this is Jesse Swanson with the TV Store, your locally owned Verizon authorized wireless retailer in Atlantic. Are you dreading the long car ride on vacation and hearing your kids saying, "Are we there yet?" Well, I have a solution for you. A 4G LTE smartphone from Verizon Wireless. You can keep your kids entertained with many different games that you can put on your 4G LTE smartphone, and you can make sure they know exactly how close you are to your final destination with turn-by-turn directions with the free GPS service that comes on all Droid products. You can even check the weather on the go with a 4G LTE smartphone, as you have internet wherever you go. To get set up with your new 4G LTE smartphone, stop in at the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic or call 243-3032. We're here to answer any questions you might have about your Verizon Wireless cell phone and provide you with the best possible customer service. Activation, upgrade, early termination, and other fees apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com. Smartphones required a data package.
Authorities have released the names of three people on board a small plane that crashed in northwest Iowa over the weekend. The Woodbury County Sheriff's Office said 70-year-old Galen Mack of Correctionville was flying the plane when it crashed into a farm field about 2.5 miles south of Correctionville Saturday evening. Mack's two passengers died in the crash, and Mack suffered serious burns. The passengers were identified as 53-year-old Lee Schroeder of Odo and 55-year-old James Smith of Correctionville. Former Anthem Fire Chief Mike Burning says that Schroeder was a longtime firefighter who was scheduled to portray Santa Claus at a town celebration next weekend. Mack was taken to a Sioux City hospital and later transferred to a burn center in Lincoln, Nebraska. St. Elizabeth spokeswoman Betty Thompson said Mack was in critical condition on Sunday. A monthly economic index report suggests an economic slump will continue over the next 3 to 6 months for 9 Midwestern and Plain states. The MidAmerica Business Condition Index rose slightly in November to a weak 48.0 from 46.5 in October. The figure was 50.4 in September. The survey of business leaders and supply managers uses a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Survey organizers say any score above 50 suggests growth, while a score below 50 suggests decline for that factor. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he says it is tracking economic weakness, particularly for non-durable goods producers. Plans to build a passenger rail system across Iowa from Omaha to Chicago are chugging along. Three public hearings will be held next week to give residents in Iowa, Nebraska, and Illinois a chance to comment on the proposal. Amanda Martin, policy coordinator for the Iowa DOT's Office of Rail Transportation, said the results of a major study are being unveiled.
We just completed the environmental analysis to determine potential impacts for the service. And so we developed what's called a Tier 1 Environmental Impact Statement, or EIS, and that is in draft form right now for the public to review on our website. And the open house meetings will be to provide a formal public hearing on that analysis and those findings.
The hearings are a joint effort between the Iowa and Illinois DOTs and the Federal Railroad Administration. Martin says another study will focus on giving a more exact cost estimate for the project.
After that's developed, we'll put all of that information into what's called a final environmental impact statement and put that out for the public for a short time for review, and then the project will be completed.
And she says the proposed route utilizes BNSF and Iowa Interstate Freight Rails from Omaha to Chicago's Union Station. Matching funds will be needed for the project to continue. Martin says they plan to present the completed project to members of the Iowa legislature in just a few months.
We'll have some information that we can present to them, hopefully in the early spring. And so we're hoping March, April time period, we'll have the service development plan drafted and we can start presenting them with some information. We do have a lot of information already to be able to provide folks who have questions.
And the first open house on the environmental impact statement is Tuesday, December 11th at Chicago's Union Station. The next hearing will be Wednesday, December 12th at the Des Moines Botanical Center. A final public hearing is Thursday, December 13th at the Council Bluffs Public Library. All sessions start at 4 p.m. with the formal presentation at 5:30, followed by a question and answer session until 7. Elsewhere in state news, a Des Moines police dog who was shot twice in 2004 while chasing a suspect has died. 11-year-old Reno died last week in the arms of his partner and handler, Tim Nading. Reno was a male German Shepherd who served from 2003 until being retired last year. He continued to live with Nading and his family. Reno was shot in October of 2004 as officers searched for a slaying suspect. Police say the suspect, Michael Rainier, shot Reno in the spine. The dog continued to pursue Rainier, but was accidentally shot in the knee by another officer. Reno returned to duty 4 months later. Nading said that Reno died last week after veterinarians discovered that a soft tissue tumor had ruptured inside of Reno's body. An Iowa native who was killed during combat in Afghanistan has been laid to rest. Hundreds of people attended Army Sergeant Joseph Richardson's funeral in Algona on Saturday. Richardson died November 16th while on patrol in Patika Province. Richardson was assigned to the 1st Battalion, 28th Infantry Regiment, 4th Brigade Combat Team, 1st Infantry Division, out of Fort Riley, Kansas. Family members say the 23-year-old had asked to go to Afghanistan because he loved serving in the Army. He had previously served a tour in Iraq. Richardson's family said he had reenlisted for 6 more years just before his death. Richardson spent most of his childhood in Algona and moved to Moonville, Arkansas after the 9th grade. He's survived by his wife, Ashley Richardson. 40 Iowa National Guard soldiers deployed Sunday for a mission in Honduras. The soldiers are part of a military police unit. And Colonel Greg Hapgood, a spokesman for the Iowa Guard, says they'll be part of the Joint Task Force Bravo based in Honduras.
Particularly, they work on countering what they would call transnational organized crime, narcotics, and other kinds of criminal activity. They do humanitarian assistance and disaster relief down there, and they work on building up the militaries of those nations in Central America and in that entire region to make them stronger bearers of their own security.
The Iowa soldiers will spend a couple of months at Fort Bliss in Texas for training before moving on to Honduras.
Well, certainly going to Honduras is somewhat new for the Iowa National Guard in recent history. We've previously operated down there, particularly in the 1990s and early 2000s. But the 186th Military Police Company is excited about going to do this job for Joint Task Force Bravo, and they're ready to go.
The Iowa unit is based at Camp Dodge in Johnston, and a send-off ceremony was held there Sunday afternoon.
The Iowa National Guard has done a number of deployments, particularly starting in the mid-1990s through the present day, in more than 35 nations around the world. So, you know, certainly Honduras, it's been a while since the Iowa National Guard has been there on any type of lengthy basis, but these soldiers are trained and ready to go do their job.
And this particular military police unit has been deployed to Iraq 3 times, in 1996 during the first Iraq War, then in 2003 and 2004, and again in 2007 and 2008. They were deployed in 1996 to provide law enforcement at U.S. military installations in Germany. Honduras has been ravaged by drug-related corruption and violence, and the country has the highest homicide rate in the Western Hemisphere, 16 times higher, in fact, than the U.S. murder rate and more than double that of Colombia's. Taking a look at our world headlines at this hour, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton says a Syrian move toward using chemical weapons remains a red line for the Obama administration and that it would prompt action from the United States. But U.S. officials aren't saying if there is any new evidence to suggest a possible deployment of the stockpiles by the embattled Syrian government. Iran appears to be signaling that it might be willing to hold direct talks with the U.S. about its nuclear program. Iran's foreign minister says such talks are possible, but would have to be approved by the country's supreme leader. Iran and the U.S. have been part of a six-nation nuclear talks, which are currently stalled. Human rights groups are concerned that Russia, China, and some Middle Eastern countries will try to impose new restrictions and monitoring of the Internet. The proposals may be offered at a UN telecommunications conference underway in Dubai. The U.S. delegation includes representatives from tech giants Google and Microsoft. Japanese officials have ordered immediate inspections of dozens of tunnels around the country following the deaths of 9 people yesterday in a tunnel just west of Tokyo. The victims were killed by concrete slabs that fell on 3 vehicles. And federal authorities are investigating a plane crash that killed 4 people in southeastern Indiana. That happened late yesterday, about a couple miles south of the Greensburg Municipal Airport, which is 40 miles southeast of Indianapolis. News time is 8:10.
Are you looking for something this holiday season that the whole family can enjoy? Here at the TV Store in Atlantic, we have you covered. With Dish Network and the Blockbuster Movie Pass, you can now avoid the traffic jams, long lines, and enjoy movie nights from the comforts of your own home.
If you do have to go out for some last-minute shopping, be rest assured you won't have to miss any of your favorite shows or the big game with Hopper Whole Home HD DVR. With the Hopper from Dish, you can record all of your favorite shows and then watch them on any TV in the house, all in high definition.
Dish Network, a gift that keeps on giving all season long. Stop in today to the TV Store, your locally owned, authorized Dish Network retailer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic, or call 243-3032.
Limited time offer, 24-month agreement required, cancellation fee and other restrictions apply. Call for details.
In the funeral announcements, Virginia Colt Ryder, age 93, of Casey, died Thursday at the Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Virginia Colt Ryder will be held today at 10 o'clock at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Kathy Leisted, age 79, of Elkhorn, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Kathy Leisted will be today at 10:30 at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton has the arrangements. Margaret Wells, age 59, of Earlham, died Wednesday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Memorial services for Margaret Wells will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Earlham Church of Christ. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. William Bill Miller, age 76, of Manila, died Thursday. Funeral services for Bill Miller will be today at 4:30 at the IKM Middle School Gymnasium in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. Austin Lane Weiss, age 12, of Exira, died Thursday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Austin Weiss will be held tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Adair Casey High School in rural Adair. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Dennis Lee Collins, age 50, of Guthrie Center, died Thursday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Dennis Collins will be on Wednesday at 1 o'clock at the Union Cemetery in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Larry Keister, age 54, of Harlan, died Saturday. A prayer service for Larry Keister will be Wednesday at 4 o'clock at the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. No other services are planned. Daniel Lee Weiss, age 50, of Walnut, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Memorial services for Dan Weiss will be held Friday at 10:30 at the Walnut American Legion Hall in Walnut. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. And Josephine Fagan, age 84, of Panora, died Saturday at the Greene County Medical Center in Jefferson. No services are planned for Josephine Fagan, with burial of cremains at a later date. Twig Funeral Home in Panora is in charge of the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.